From Entrepreneur Media, this is Problem Solvers, a show in which entrepreneurs do what entrepreneurs do best, solve unexpected problems in their business.
We were completely wrong.
And I'm just like, it's not selling.
It was like, we have to start from scratch.
I'm Jason Pfeiffer, the editor-in-chief of Entrepreneur Magazine. What if you have an idea that consumers love, but there's no way to actually make money off of it? And I'm not just talking about love in the abstract here. I mean like actual love, certified love, a bazillion people coming to your website and using your product and praising your name love.
The thing is, popularity doesn't always translate to cash, but cash is sort of a necessary thing to keep a business afloat, let alone turn it into a successful, sustainable enterprise.
That's Stephanie Schomer, senior editor at Entrepreneur. And this can be a real problem for a company because it's such a bittersweet victory. We want to make things people love, but if it's not something people will pay for, then at some point we just can't afford to do it anymore. We have to say goodbye to this wonderful idea. Stephanie has the story of an entrepreneur who faced exactly this problem and made some big, daring moves to turn that flop into a success. So she's going to take this episode from here.
The entrepreneur's name is Jen O'Neill, and she's a co-founder of Tripping.com. She and her co-founder, Jeff Manheimer, launched a social network that was all about traveling. If you were going anywhere in the world, you could use Tripping to quickly connect with a local at your destination, and that person could take you to a neighborhood bar, chat with you about the real culture, basically steer you away from any tourist trap. It was a world traveler's dream, a way to get an authentic taste of the city you were visiting. And when they launched, the thing went viral. Travelers were psyched. Jen and Jeff were psyched. And yet, something quickly went wrong.
We realized pretty soon after raising our seed round that it would be very difficult to monetize that user base.
That's Jen. And that's her problem right there. She had a huge user base that, for reasons she wouldn't immediately understand, was just not going to translate into huge dollars. The problem forced Tripping to make some major changes that, today, worked out pretty well. Tripping.com is the largest vacation rental metasearch site on the internet, and last year alone did $500 million in bookings. But their road to success wasn't easy or fast, and Jen is the first to admit that it took her way too long to do what was necessary. So, what happened? How did Jen deal with having a great idea that simply wouldn't make money? We'll get into it after the break.
Want to hear more great stories from entrepreneurs, founders, and creative thinkers? Check out the Proposify Biz Chat, a podcast hosted by Kyle Racky. He's the co-founder and CEO of Proposify, a really useful business proposal software platform that helps you close more deals faster. Each week on the Proposify Biz Chat, Kyle interviews other business adventurers about really practical things like how they handle sales, marketing, growth, operations, entrepreneurship, innovation, and technology. I just listened to an episode about product demos, and I loved the point that they make about how you can't just be an answer taker. You can't just wait for clients to ask you questions. You have to know their needs in advance and take control of that demo. It's great advice. For more like it, listen to Proposify Biz Chat now at proposify.com/podcast or subscribe on iTunes.
We're back. So before we see how Tripping.com's great idea failed, let's see where it came from in the first place. At the very start, Jen and Jeff were just building something they wished existed for themselves. They love traveling and they love meeting locals, but neither of them had ever built a social network. She had previously worked at Ticket Marketplace, Viagogo, and Jeff at deal site TravelZoo, but they had strong instincts. They began by reaching out to global organizations, the Peace Corps, university alumni organizations, and created networks on Tripping so that those groups' members could connect around the globe. The thinking was, if they could land just a couple massive, universally known partners right out the gate, the smaller players would follow. And they were right. They signed Dartmouth as a study abroad partner, and other universities did follow. They even landed ARP, the country's largest membership organization, and quickly saw the door to other programs swing wide open.
And all of those organizations had members that traveled. And so what they did is, you know, we would build a private network for, say, Harvard alums, and any Harvard alum could get into that network with a password given by the university, and anywhere they went in the world, they could meet other Harvard alums. So it became kind of a networking tool for all of our partners. But what it did is it enabled us to grow and have this really high quality, highly vetted user base.
The social network launched at TechCrunch Disrupt back in 2010 and quickly attracted members in 150 countries.
It was pretty viral, actually. And we were so excited, and we were able to raise about $1 million in seed funding off of that growth.
From there, Jen figured they could monetize those fast-growing networks by serving as an affiliate for big travel companies. Come to tripping.com to set up a coffee with a local during your trip to Prague, and while you're there, book your hotel and your flight, too. Tripping.com would take a cut of those purchases. It seemed like an easy, straightforward way to make money. But in order to actually get those travel partners on board, so that people could actually book hotels and flights through tripping.com, this new startup would need to prove that its members were actually ready to spend that money on traveling. That's when the trouble began. Tripping took a hard look at its primary customers and found that they were mostly young kids, maybe still in college, backpacking across an unfamiliar region. That means they weren't exactly in a position to break the bank on nice hotels and five-star airfare.
They just weren't buying. Yeah, they just didn't have enough money. And we were very small at the time, so we didn't build out a full travel center either. So it was kind of a chicken and the egg thing.
This exposed a giant flaw in Tripping.com's business model. Jen and Jeff had been so focused on building their user base, they never stopped to figure out if that user base was valuable. Now they were at a crossroads. They could keep building this network out, but that wouldn't be welcome news to their investors. Or they could go back to square one. Just scrap the entire thing. But Jen and Jeff still believed in their tiny staff of 7 employees, and they weren't ready to give up on their foundation. What they needed was a new big idea.
How long are you guys in operation with that before you decided to think about pivoting?
Way too long. So we had just closed some seed funding. So we actually had some money in the bank to do a team retreat, which we were very excited about. And our original thought was, well, let's go to Lake Tahoe, which is close to San Francisco. We'll drive up there with the team. We'll rent a place on the lake. We'll hang out for 3 days. We'll drink some beer. We'll brainstorm and we'll come up with our new business model.
Not a bad plan, right? A chance to reset, a chance to bond, a chance to brainstorm. But the simple act of renting a place in Tahoe proved to be, well, surprisingly impossible.
And so we started looking around to book a place, and we started noticing that, A, it was an insanely complicated process. Back then, you could not book a vacation rental online with a credit card. You actually had to email the property owner or call the property owner, talk to them over the phone, go back and forth and show up in person with a check or cash. It was crazy. So that was the first thing we noticed, was how complicated it was to even book a rental. Second to that, as we were doing research, we were on, you know, HomeAway and Flipkey, which is a TripAdvisor company, and a few other brands. And we noticed the same properties were showing up on each of those sites. And sometimes they had different prices. And so we said, okay, well, like, clearly there's duplication in the market. Like, people are listing their homes on multiple sites, but there's no transparency. So if we book a place on one site, we actually might be paying way more than we should because it's, you know, 20% cheaper on another site.
There was a reason this was happening. As Jen explains it, the hotel world has a thing called rate parity, which maintains consistent rates for lodging, regardless of where you're booking. Meaning, if you want to book a room at a Hilton in Chicago, you're going to get the same rate for a particular day, whether you book through Expedia, Priceline, or even directly through the hotel. But that doesn't exist in the vacation rental world. Why? Well, you can't tell a private property owner how to price their home or apartment. If they want to list it on HomeAway for $200 a night, and on Airbnb for $100 a night to see which gets the best results? Well, that's their prerogative, but it makes for a major headache for travelers. And because of it, the Tripping.com team never did find a place to stay. Not the warm house and the lake they had in mind, anyway. Instead, they ended up setting up tents at Big Sur for the weekend, and as they gathered around the campfire, lamenting the absence of cozy linens and fluffy beds, they couldn't get over how 7 smart, functional adult people could not manage to book a rental house for a weekend away.
And so that really got us thinking about, like, well, maybe someone needs to bring that transparency to the vacation rental market. We ended up going camping instead. And so I think around the campfire, we were all kind of talking about this. And finally we said, well, wait a sec, why don't we do it?
And that's what they set out to do, fix the vacation rental market. No easy feat for sure, but they laid out a pretty good plan. If the problem is a fragmented supply base, the solution is Metasearch.
We're going to sit on top of the market. We'll aggregate all of the rentals from all around the world into a single platform and give users an easy way to search for Bali, for example. We'll show you every rental in Bali. And then when you find a place that you love on the beach, we're going to show you that it's available on 3 sites at 3 prices, and you can book the cheapest one.
But of course, this was a very different kind of business than the one Jen and Jeff had first started. It was also very different from what Tripping.com's large number of users had come to expect. And it was different than what their current engineering team was built to create.
And this was the hardest decision I've ever had to make. My co-founder and I lost a lot of sleep over it. So in addition to changing the back end, which we absolutely had to do because we were building a whole new product to be a search engine for vacation rentals, we at one point realized the team we had in place was fantastic for the very first model, right? So the very first model was the kind of social community business that we were building, and it attracted a very different type of person. Like, so the engineers we had really loved our social mission. Everyone that we had on the team was very passionate about that original idea.
Jen makes a really important point there. The original engineering team wasn't just built around skills, it was built around culture. Those people connected with Tripping.com's mission. And now that the product they were building had changed, they weren't a fit in more ways than just technical skills.
It's just a different business. Search engines are cold. It's about data. It's about numbers. It's conversion. It's relevancy and all of these things. Whereas the community was much, I don't want to say softer, but it was. It was, you know, it was about connecting people and being, you know, doing things that are good for the world and all of that. And what we realized was the team we had in place, as wonderful as they were, and we were friends with all of them, we'd go out, you know, all the time. It just wasn't the right team for the new model. And so in the midst of our Series A, we actually changed our entire team over, including all of our engineers. And it was tough.
She says it was either going to be the best or the worst thing her company ever did. But either way, it had to be done.
And so it was one of those moments that I think a lot of entrepreneurs have where you just have to like take a deep breath and jump in and hope it works out.
The co-founders didn't just let these people go, though. They helped their original team find new jobs at other companies. And as for the positions that Jen and Jeff now had to fill at Tripping, they set out on a very targeted search.
Everyone had to have some sort of data or quant background or computer science. So everyone we hired, including marketers, had either economics, math, or computer science as their background.
Once in place, the new team worked fast. And by the end of 2011, the new metasearch site was built and in place. But there were still plenty of hurdles to overcome, some of which were self-inflicted.
We made a huge mistake. And what we did is we actually kept the community site live.
Remember the community, as in the social network that Tripping.com originally built? Now the company had a completely new business model, but they just couldn't let go of their first baby, that socially minded network that just wanted to help travelers connect and learn about each other. They figured, what's the harm in doing both? The social network is already live, and the new business model is up and running. What could go wrong by simply letting this thing live a little bit longer?
We had this hybrid website where if you came to Tripping.com and you did a search for Paris in 2011, we would show you a full search results page of people. So you'd see like smiling faces like looking back at you of all the people in Paris who want to meet you. But then we'd have a separate tab on the search page full of rentals. So you could actually toggle between the two and either choose people to meet and go out with, or you could find places to stay. And so we tried to kind of straddle that line and do both, which from a brand perspective is very difficult, right? Because we're appealing to two different types of traveler. It's hard to tell the message of, hey, we're a search engine for vacation rentals. Oh, and you can also meet local people. It was a very confusing message. And so at a certain point, we said, okay, we need to draw a line in the sand.
They finally pulled the plug on the social network in 2012. And from there, they focused all of the team's attention on building the search engine, partnering with other travel sites, and convincing them to share their listings with Tripping.com.
We had to convince every partner to give us their listings. And so we'd go talk to HomeAway, for example, and HomeAway would say, well, why do I need to give you my listings? I don't want to be on a metasearch site. I don't want to have TripAdvisor right next to me, which is my competitor. And we'd have to convince them and say, look, you know, our job is to send you great qualified traffic and bookings, and we will do that. If you don't work with us, then all that traffic is going to go to your competitor. So, you know, which would you prefer?
Slowly, partners started signing on, but the team stayed scrappy, painfully so.
It was hard for those years. I think, you know, the month before our term sheet came in for our Series A, I was worried about making rent. It was down to the wire. It was that bad. And, you know, a lot of times investors will ask us, like, why are you so optimistic? And I think our answer is, you know, one, Jeff, my co-founder, and I are both stubborn, right? Like we saw where the market was headed and we wanted to be there first. I think it would have killed us if we had gone that far, quit, and then had someone else step in and do it. We just couldn't even bear the thought of that. So that kind of kept us going during those dark hours. And then finally, we were lucky to raise our Series A. At that point, once we had some money to play with, we were able to drive marketing. And then through that grew about 3,000%.
Being early to the market would eventually prove to be Tripping.com's greatest competitive advantage. They're now one of the biggest players in the vacation rental market, which, by the way, is the fastest growing segment of travel and worth $100 billion. Last year alone, Tripping.com did $500 million worth of bookings and raised their Series C for $35 million. That's some serious success, a lot of which can be credited to the fact that Jen and Jeff quickly realized they were in trouble and quickly did something about it, even if it took them too long to fully commit to the new plan. If you feel like your startup ship is sinking, don't wait until you're underwater to start looking for your life vest. Their business pivot, tough as it may have been, saved their company from going under. And as for that social network they so loved, well, there's actually a happy ending there.
And what we found was all of those 22-year-old backpackers who started with us in 2010, you know, by the time Metasearch got going, and it was maybe, you know, 2014, 2015, those backpackers were now like married, they had jobs, some of them were starting to have kids. And so they actually grew into being our user base for Metasearch.
A lot of those early community members became the very first users of the new tripping.com. As it turns out, Jen may have pivoted her company's business model, but she hadn't entirely pivoted away from her audience. It's really the perfect answer to our question at the start of this episode. What happens when you have a great idea, but you can't make money off of it? Well, you step back and say, okay, I'm onto something here. I'm on the right path. And that's a valuable start.
And that's our show. Problem Solvers comes out every week. So to make sure that you don't miss an episode, please subscribe on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. If you love what we're doing, please also leave us a review. It totally helps us reach more people. That's our problem solving right here. And of course, there are a lot more stories like this one, along with practical advice on how to start and grow a business in Entrepreneur Magazine and on our website, entrepreneur.com. Problem Solvers is a production of Entrepreneur Media. Again, my name is Jason Pfeiffer, and I'm the editor-in-chief of Entrepreneur Magazine. Let me know what you think about the show. You can find me on Twitter at HeyPfeiffer, H-E-Y-F-E-I-F-E-R. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.